Chapter 141. Open move in the game, and played fairly. H. She thought, if I could have had such a husband as the day man with a heart and brains too, I would not have minded his large feet. And running into her room, she absolutely bethought herself of something, and wrote him a note, beseeching him to stop for a few days, not to think of going, and that she could serve him with a, the parting was over. Once more poor William walked to the door and was gone, and the little widow, the author of all this work, had her will, and had won her victory, and was left to enjoy it as she best might. Let the ladies envy her triumph. At the romantic hour of dinner, Mr. Georgi made his appearance and again remarked the absence of L.D. Dobb. The meal was eaten in silence by the party, Joe's appetite not being diminished, but Emmy taking nothing at all. After the meal, Georgi was lolling in the cushions of the old window, a large window, with three sides of glass abutting from the gable, and commanding on one side the marketplace, where the elephant is, his mother being busy hard by, when he remarked symptoms of movement at the major's house on the other side of the street. "Hello," said he, "there's Dobb's trap. They are bringing it out of the courtyard." The wrap in question was a carriage which the major had bought for £6, and about which they used to rally him a good deal. Emmy gave a little start, but said nothing. "Hello," Georgie continued, "there's Francis coming out with the portmanteaus, and Cuns, the one-eyed postillion, coming down the market with three shimmels. Look at his boots and yellow jacket, ain't he a rum one? Why, they're putting the horses to Dobb's carriage. Is he going anywhere?" "Yes," said Emmy, "he is going on a journey." "Going on a journey, and when is he coming back?" "He is not coming back," answered Emmy. "Not coming back," cried out Georgie, jumping up. "Stay here, sir," roared out Joe's. "Tay, Georgie," said his mother with a very sad face. The boy stopped, kicked about the room, jumped up and down from the window seat with his knees, and showed every symptom of uneasiness and curiosity. The horses were put to. The baggage was strapped on. Francis came out with his master's sword, cane, and umbrella tied up together, and laid them in the well, and his desk and old tin cocked hat case, which he placed under the seat. Francis brought out the stained old blue cloak lined with red camlet, which had wrapped the owner up any time these 15 years, and had mansion Sturm Merlet, as a favorite song of those days said. It had been new for the campaign of Waterloo, and had covered George and William after the night of Quatre Bras. Old Burke, the landlord of the lodgings, came out, then Francis, with more packages, final packages than Major William Burke wanted to kiss him. The major was adored by all people with whom he had to do. It was with difficulty he could escape from this demonstration of attachment. "By Jove, I will go," screamed out George. "I've him this," said Becky, quite interested, and put a paper into the boy's hand. He had rushed down the stairs, and flung across the street in a minute. The yellow postillion was cracking his whip gently. William had got into the carriage, released from the embraces of his landlord. George bounded in afterwards, and flung his arms round the major's neck as they saw from the window, and began asking him multiplied questions. Then he felt in his waistcoat pocket, and gave him a note. William seized at it rather eagerly. He opened it trembling, but instantly his countenance changed, and he tore the paper in two, and dropped it out of the carriage. He kissed Georgie on the head, and the boy got out, doubling his fists into his eyes, and with the aid of Francis, he lingered with his hand on the panel. "Fort, Schwager." The yellow postillion cracked his whip prodigiously, up sprang Francis to the box, away went the shimmels, and Dobbin with his head on his breast. He never looked up as they passed under Amelia's window, and Georgie, left alone in the street, burst out crying in the face of all the crowd. Emmy's maid heard him howling again during the night, and brought him some preserved apricots to console him. She mingled her lamentations with his. all the poor, all the humble, all honest folks, all good men who knew him, loved that kind-hearted and simple gentleman. As for Emmy, had she not done her duty? As he had her picture of George for a consolation. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.